Good morning. First of all, I need to own to you that I'm not an expert on mothers. I'm not a mother, as you see. So because of that, to start off this morning, I asked Zach. I guess I don't see him anywhere. Maybe Alex could do this for me. What'd you do? Don't worry, you don't have to say anything. You just have to hold this thing. Have to figure out how to turn it on first. Oh, huh? Okay, I don't know how to turn it. There you go. All right, all you have to do is now when a lady raises her hand and I call on her, you can just give her that, okay? Plus, since I own to you, I'm not a mother and I'm not good at telling you all about a mother. I can only go by God's word and the examples of godly women that I see at church and my own mother. So I need your help today. If you're 55 or older and you're a mother, and I'm not picking on you because you're 55 or older, I'd like you to raise your hand. This young man will give you the microphone. And I would like you to tell me, or tell the congregation, what has fulfilled, given you fulfillment as a mother, and who helped you feel fulfilled. So please, I do need your help. So at least somebody's got to raise their hand. Okay. Well, should I go younger? 50 maybe? Oh, there's a young lady in the back that's got her hand up.
I guess what fulfills me is my family. And just to see them grow in their faith and to get those grandkids out of them. And then, of course, Pete and the church are my big factors on being a good mother and being a good family.
Anybody else? Oh, here's another young lady up here. Sherry Street.
What fulfills me is the love of my children and the fact that now they tell me I was right sometimes.
Wow. And there's another one over here that had her hand up.
Well, what fulfills me is my family also and their love. And my children when they've accepted Christ as their Savior and to see them raise their children in the Lord also. And so my help in that effect is my mother, my mother-in-law, my family, and especially God.
Anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out. Oh, there's another one in the back.
I just want to thank my faith in my kids that believe in me, and I've just become a great grandmother Thursday.
Nobody else? Okay, you can sit down. That's all you had to do. See, it wasn't too bad. Thank you for your help. Now, I don't want to sound negative when I say this, but I think it's interesting that of all the ladies that gave a witness of what made them feel fulfilled and where their strength come from, I didn't hear one of them say, my high education I have, thinking about myself, and desiring the things that this world says that makes a woman feel fulfilled. I find that quite interesting in the church today. Recently, I heard Mike Pence's wife give a speech. She's a godly woman. And it was interesting, some of the commentary, some of the media had to say about that. They almost made fun of her for her faith in God, and what she believed in as far as raising her children and what God's point of view was for her as a mother and a husband. I just thought, wow, something's really gotten mixed up in our country. In our world today, it seems like even the family is belittled. But you know, God had a plan when he created heaven and earth, this planet that we live on, night and day. He created the animals. He created the heavens and the earth. He created it all. And then he created man. And after he created everything, he said, and he created man, he said this, he saw it all and it was good. But there's one thing he noticed about a man is that he didn't have a helpmeet. So God tells us in Genesis, if you read the story in Genesis chapter 2, that God created had a deep sleep come over Adam, and out of his side, he formed a woman, a helpmeet for him. Notice he didn't take some piece of his head, didn't take some piece of his foot, but he took something from his side, and I think that would represent that person that was created was to come alongside, and to both of them working together were to raise a family the way God intended it to be. Today we're honoring mothers, and in that I'd like to consider what God says about women in the Bible, especially a virtuous woman. As I told you before, I'm not an expert on this, so you'll have to bear with me, and we'll just see what God has to say about this. According to Webster Dictionary, virtue means general moral excellence regarded as good, being of a good quality. So I'd like to read together Proverbs chapter 31 and read verses 10 through 31. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies, and her heart and the heart of her husband safely trust in her. So he will not have no lack of gain. She does him good, not evil, all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax, and willingly works with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night, and provides food for her household and a portion of her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it for her profits. She plants a vineyard. She guards herself with strength and strengthen her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp goes not out by night. She stretches out her hand to the distaff, and her hand holds the spindle. She extols her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all the household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. When he sits among the elders of the land, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and not her tongue, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Will you pray with me? Father, we come together today to hear what you have to say to us. Open our ears and our hearts and our minds, and guide by your Holy Spirit to lead that words from you would be spoken today, and encourage us and challenge our hearts to be more what you intended for us as followers of you to be. Encourage and strengthen us, and thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In this chapter, we find several characteristics of a virtuous woman. It says here that, for one, she's trustworthy. She cares for others. She's industrious. She's wise. Uses her talents. She's honorable. She's supportive. But most of all, she honors God. There are many examples of godly women in the Bible that we could look at today, but there's just a couple that I'd like to look at this morning. And one of them is Ruth. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, we are told Naomi is speaking here, and her mother-in-law. And it says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." Well, you know, if you read the story of Ruth, the book of Ruth is really an interesting book. But if you read the story of Ruth, she was a Moabite woman. She was not a Jewish woman. And Naomi and her husband and her sons, two sons, left the land of Israel to go to Moab because of a famine. They were searching for food. And during this time, while they were there, her sons married Moabite women. They were not Jewish. And one of them married Ruth. We don't know a lot about Ruth before this story took place. We don't know how she was raised. We do know she was not a Jewish lady, and she was from the land of Moab. But the Bible tells us in chapter 3 that she was a virtuous woman. We're not told how she became that way, but surely, in order for her to have these qualities that God speaks about, someone had to teach her. It was obviously maybe her mother, maybe her grandmother, but somewhere along the way, she was taught these qualities. And so, because of her marrying Naomi's son, and when the death of Naomi's husband and Ruth's husband and her sister's husband passed away, they went back to the land of Israel. And of course, Naomi told Ruth, "Well, you need to stay here with your people." But she didn't want to do that. She wanted to be with Naomi. She wanted to go to Jerusalem, or back to the Jewish land, and be with her mother-in-law. She didn't know what was going to happen. But if you read the story of Ruth, though, something wonderful happened. She met a guy by the name of Boaz, who was a wealthy farmer, and wasn't long, and they became husband and wife. And out of that marriage became a son, which was King David's dad. So if you follow that along, it comes up Jesus was the lineage out of that reunion. And you wonder, David, where he got his qualities from. tells us he was a shepherd boy. He cared for his father's flock. Care for sheep. I think it takes a special person to take care of sheep. They can be kind of wild animals at some times. Not attack you, but they just seem like they give up on life easy, and they get, I've seen a neighbor's sheep get caught in fences, and they don't try to struggle too much to get out. Al would probably be a good one to tell us, even though he raises goats, but they're probably similar. But the tenderness, you think about the tenderness that David had. You wonder where he got that from. Could it be from his grandmother, Ruth? So what we see in Scripture, a mother's role, even though in our world today it's belittled, if you're not seeking a career and things for yourself and doing what you want to do, just your life just can't be meaningful. But in God's eyes, a father and a mother have a specific role of fulfillment for a purpose. I think it would take a lot to be a mother. And all that's involved with motherhood. I'd like to read about another mother in 2 Timothy 1:3 through 6. Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and it says here, I thank God, who I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be fulfilled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Speaking of Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, is in you also. We see here that Timothy's faith was because he had a godly grandmother and a godly mother. We're not told much about Timothy's father, but we do can read and find out that he was not a Jew, and he must not have had influence on Timothy. On his life as far as preparing him for what God had seen in Timothy and what he wanted to use him for. The only influence that we see that is Jewish or that his father had on him was that he was not circumcised because his father was not a Jew. And that came later on in life for him before he started his ministry. But I find it quite interesting what it says about his grandmother and his mother. Apparently they taught him in the word and the culture of the Jewish and what Jesus had to say about becoming a believer and putting God first. But it must have been more than just them telling Timothy about it. They must have lived it as an example. Timothy's mother was Eunice, and her name means good victory. So Eunice must have been diligent in her prayers, witnessing and her faith to Timothy to become a godly man. Timothy was used by God to reach others and encourage others to walk with God. Paul called him a beloved son in the faith. Timothy exercised the gift that he had for the common good of the church body of believers. And he also reached the Gentiles with the gospel. But had not been him having a good grandmother and a mother, Timothy wouldn't have had these characteristics. I realize that there are some that didn't have good mothers to learn from, didn't have a good example, and that's too bad and that's sad. But you know, in the church, as a body of believers, when we become a believer, we are born into a new family. I'd like to turn to Titus chapter 2. Just read a few verses here in Titus. Titus chapter 2, and we'll read 1 through 10. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience, and the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, the word of God, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in a doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, and one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say about you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient, and to their masters to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. These verses here are qualities of a sound church. Maybe as a mother, there are times that there's a need for good advice. We're told here that the older women are to teach the younger women. We see that they are to teach the ways of God and not the ideas of this world. This was so the action of the younger women would glorify God, to help build up his kingdom and strengthen the family of God. Failure of following God's way would be a poor testimony to the world around us outside of the church, and our children lose out. In trying to put this all together, we can see how important it is that following God's way is the only way of fulfillment and value. Don't worry, next month we'll be talking about fathers. And I was asked to preach that one too, so. So be patient. But you know what? At times it is so easy to follow the world around us and what their thinking is all about. It's so easy, maybe not to do what we're called to do as a father or a mother. It's easy just to give up. It's easy to say, oh, well, somehow it'll be okay. No, I believe God gives us a responsibility as parents, and we need to take it seriously. Because if we don't, we can look around us, and sometimes you wonder why the family's falling apart in our country. When we step out of God's plan as a father or a mother, it only has devastating effects on our children. God has a plan so our children will grow up respecting others, loving others, putting others first. In Proverbs 22:6, we are told to train up our children in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. We see that it is a parent's responsibility to teach their children. It's not up to the church. I believe that those faithful ones in the church can help. Children learn what they see and how we live, of whether our actions line up with what we say and do in our home. The world is not interested in training our children to be godly adults. To them, it's foolishness. One thing I've seen over the years that have made a difference in children's lives for good is to have faithful, godly parents that stress the importance of putting God first in their lives and living it out. Many of these children grew up and made a difference in the church and in the church family. That's what it's all about, folks. We need our young people, we need our children to grow up, to love the Lord and to serve the Lord, so we can keep the story of salvation flowing until Jesus calls us home. And after that, we don't have to worry about it anymore. But we need to make sure that we take our children and our young people with us, that the world doesn't grab onto them and hang on to them, and they're lost forever. Because once the Lord comes, and the day of salvation is over, it is over. And it'll be too late. And things that should have been important when we were living here on earth, it'll be too late. So I just challenge you today, think about these things. Realize what is important. So today we are celebrating Mother's Day. But I believe if you have a good mother, you have a good mother, you better be celebrating her every day and thank God for her. I am so thankful that I had a godly mother. She was always there for me, and she still is. She encouraged me in my walk with the Lord. There's been times in life that were tough for me, and she would get on her knees with me and pray for God's help. There were times in my life, if it wasn't for my mother, I wouldn't be where I'm in today. Not that my dad didn't love the Lord, but my mother's love and tenderness shaped my heart and my life, and I thank God for her.